Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Vox Talk for the week of Tuesday the 31st of March. My name is Ross and I am compiling this week's edition. This week's news items were collected from the local Oxford papers, with news being selected and read by Judith Pickett and Rosemary Shergold. Sunrise for the upcoming week will be around 6:45 a.m. with the sunset being around 7:30 p.m. The copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Here there will be some instructions on how to listen to Vox Talk using your Alexa device, and at the end of this edition you'll hear how to access Vox Talk online. Enjoy.
Notice to listeners of Vox Talk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Vox Talk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to Vox Talk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Vox Talk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Vox Talk and we will try to help.
Use of county tips has plummeted since the County Council introduced a new booking system. Arkerton Tip near Banbury is down 48% from February last year. Ardley Fields near Bicester is down 32%. Drayton near Abingdon is down 38%, Oakley Wood near Wallingford is down 35%, and Redbridge in Oxford is down 28%. Conservative group leader Liam Walker told Oxfordshire County Councillors that bureaucracy was to blame for this. The new booking system was introduced by the Liberal Democrat administration in mid-January, but around 26% of people who visit the tips are not booking in advance. A motion by Conservative councillor Lee Evans calling for a rethink on the new booking system was rejected. He said Oxfordshire County Council had persistently performed for 11 years as the best for tips across the country. But he accused the current administration of risking that reputation with the unnecessary and unwanted rules for using the tip. "We've become a council that you need to fill in a 5-page booking form just to take a bag of leaves to the tip," he said, while describing it as farcical. Mr Walker, leader of the Oxfordshire Alliance, said the new rules suggest the council doesn't trust residents who are being managed, monitored and given permission to use the tip. He said the changes add bureaucracy, create barriers, send entirely the wrong message to residents, he added. Residents are increasingly fed up of having to ask this Lib administration for permission to go about their daily lives. You need a permit to get into the city. You need to meet a criteria to drive down certain high street roads. Turn round the wrong way at a junction, you'll find. Try to park to support a local business, you're hit with ever-increasing parking charges. And now, unbelievably, you can't even dispose of your own household waste without proving who you are and booking permission to do so at a specific time. But Liberal Democrat Rebecca Fletcher questioned the timing of the debate and said it should be returned to council when there's evidence, not just vibes. Cabinet Member for Place, Environment and Climate Action, Judy Roberts, said, "We've all seen comments on social media, but this is not evidence. The public have not raised any concern about the difficulties of providing personal information, such as proof of address, to book a slot," she added.
More than 800 runners took strides to raise more than £100,000 for Oxford's hospitals. Fitness enthusiasts, joggers and plucky fun lovers ran around the grounds of Blenheim Palace for the 24th OX5 run. Sunday's event saw people run, jog and walk 5 miles across the historic site in aid of Oxford's Hospitals charity, which funds medical equipment, research, training and facilities. Donations from the organisation have already helped to create cancer and heart centres in the city and the Oxford Children's Hospital. The event began at 10:30 a.m. with runners set off by 13-year-old Eliza Hammond and 6-year-old Elliot Williamson, both young patients. Elliot, from Beckley, whose surname was not disclosed, has just finished leukemia treatment on Cameron's ward, which cares for children with cancer. His dad, Guy, was part of Team Cameron's, the top fundraising team this year. He said, "I ran the OX5 run as a small way to give back to the hospital that has done so much for us since Elliot was diagnosed with leukemia 8 months ago. His resilience, bravery and good humour in the face of all he is enduring is inspirational." At the OX5 run, teams of families were joined by many hospital staff, including the 60-strong Team Heme, Children's Radiology, Oxford Vaccine Group, AAU, Emergency Department, Team Microbiology, PICU, and many more. Claire Hughes, events officer at Oxford Hospitals Charity, said, "It was a glorious sunny day with a wonderful sense of community and shared purpose. We are so grateful to all the teams of families, hospital staff and the local business community that came together at this special run. There was such a wonderful atmosphere, a real coming together, and we are thrilled at how many people seemed to really enjoy the whole day." The event was won by 15-year-old Edward Hare, part of the Beth's Bees team, in 29 minutes exactly, with Erica Davidson of Team Magnet Technology winning the cup for the first female in 30 minutes 58 seconds. Local businesses taking part included Penny and Sinclair, Oxford Science Park, Magnet Technology and Brecon and Brecon, who also sponsored the medals. Miss Hughes added, "Best of all, our runners have worked so hard on their fundraising, and we are on track to raise £100,000 or more to make a difference for our young patients. Our special thanks to everyone who took part, and also to Brecon and Brecon for their kind sponsorship of the medals, Blenheim Palace for hosting us, and Get Radio for their music and comparing on the day."
Police have issued an alert warning people living across the county to stay vigilant. Thames Valley police officers have been made aware of fake banknotes circulating around Banbury. In a community alert issued on Tuesday afternoon, the force warned householders to stay vigilant. A spokesperson for Thames Valley Police said, "We're asking all local businesses, shops and community members to stay vigilant. You can carefully check any notes you receive. Use note-checking tools if you have them and report any suspicious incidents or counterfeit notes through the Thames Valley Police website online or 101. Your awareness helps to protect our local businesses and keep our community safe." A wheelchair user has secured a job through a new employment support scheme. Tom Bucknell from Bicester is the first success story of Oxfordshire's Connect to Work programme, which helped him secure a position as a customer services officer at Oxfordshire County Council after his previous contract with an NHS Foundation Trust ended. Mr. Bucknell said, "I always have to think twice about things others don't even notice. That brings internal mental health barriers as well as physical ones." Referred to the programme by the Job Centre in Banbury, Mr. Bucknell received one-to-one support from employment advisor Courtney Bateman. Ms. Bateman helped him identify his strengths, explore suitable roles, complete job applications, and even attended interviews with him. Mr. Bucknell said, "Having someone in my corner made such a difference. When I was offered the job, I felt genuinely proud, like somebody finally saw my skills. I just felt amazing. I'd done it. I worked a full day and that was really empowering. 3 weeks in, Mr. Bucknell is already confident handling customer emails and supporting congestion charge permit approvals. His employment advisor described him as a consistent, resilient and highly motivated individual. Ro Marinari, Mr. Bucknell's manager at Oxfordshire County Council, said, "Working with Tom and the Connect to Work team has been a really positive experience. The support they provided ensured Tom could step into the role with confidence, and we've been glad to play our part in helping him settle in. Having an accessible and welcoming workplace is essential for everyone, and we're committed to doing what we can to help colleagues thrive." Mr. Bucknell also expressed gratitude to his support network. He said, "I can't thank Courtney enough for everything she's done. And I also want to thank my manager, Ro, and Richard Merritt for being so supportive. It's made such a difference as I start this new chapter." Councillor Tim Bearder, Cabinet Member for Adult Social Care at Oxfordshire County Council, said, "Tom's achievement is something we're incredibly proud of. To see the very first person supported through Connect to Work already thriving in his new role is both inspiring and encouraging. This is exactly what the programme is here to do. Help people facing real barriers realise their strengths and move into meaningful work. Connect to Work supports people with disabilities, health conditions or other barriers to employment and offers free personalised help to find and keep work. The programme forms part of the County Council's commitment to increasing residents' independence under the Oxfordshire Way strategy. Residents can self-refer or be referred by an organisation they already work with."
New, taller buildings could unlock growth along the route of the new Cowley branch line. A new report from Oxford City Council has called for higher and denser building along the line, which will see new railway stations built in Cowley and Littlemore. The branch line, which has been closed to passengers for 60 years, was given the green light to reopen with a £120 million funding package from the government. The project will connect Littlemore, Cowley, Blackbird Leas and Greater Leas to central Oxford in under 10 minutes, then go directly on to London Marylebone with a twice-hourly service. Oxford City Council has identified the area as a major opportunity for new development and economic growth. Councillor Alex Hollingsworth, Cabinet Member for Planning and Culture, said, "Oxford's economy is one of the fastest growing in the UK, creating new jobs and opportunities across the city. To keep up, we need to make sure local people can find homes close to their work. This study sets out a clear and carefully considered way to do that, now and in the future." Three clusters were named in the study as ripe for so-called densification, including South Oxford Cluster, roughly including Florence Park and Cowley and the edges of Horsepath, Garsington and Kennington. The other two are Barton Park, including Barton and Headington, and Oxford North, including Oxford Parkway Station, Cutslow and Sunnymead and the edge of Wolvercote. LDA Design, a consultancy of urban designers, landscape architects and planners, who prepared the study, developed the clusters through detailed visual testing between the new train line area and key city viewpoints, according to the council. The aim of the study, which was developed with Homes England and Historic England, is to help Oxford develop its international renown in life sciences and other sectors, while protecting its important views. Julia Krause, Assistant Director for the South East at Homes England, said, "As a historic city, Oxford holds a rich architectural heritage that should be preserved while embracing thoughtful and sustainable growth. The sensitive but significant densification recommended in the report includes guidance to developers, signalling the council is expecting to receive proposals and significant investment in the area."
A crash barrier is to be installed on the Oxford Ring Road between Redbridge Park and Ryde and Hayford Hill Roundabout in order to protect cyclists. For several years, campaigners have been raising concerns about cars and lorries illegally parking on the shared walking and cycling path along the A423. It began as an occasional issue during the COVID pandemic, but has steadily escalated, with more than 10 vehicles frequently parking there, according to councillors. This has been accessed from a drop curb off the national speed limit road at the bridge over the Weir Mill stream. However, campaigners argue there should always have been a crash barrier there to protect the bridge. Anna Railton, Deputy Labour Leader of Oxford City Council, covering Hinksey Park ward, said, "This has been a problem because it's a walking and cycling path and people don't expect to encounter vehicles on there. They are churning up the path, and to rejoin the dual carriageway over a very muddy bit of verge is genuinely not very safe." She hopes the installation of the crash barrier, which is expected to be installed this summer, will protect walkers and cyclists. Oxfordshire County Council has been approached for a comment.
A gardening enthusiast has won an unbelievable £1 million thanks to his late father's lucky lottery numbers. Sean Hayes from Whitney lost his dad James in 2010, and amongst the belongings he left behind was a copy of his lottery numbers, which he played on Lotto each week. Since his father's death, the 56-year-old continued playing those same numbers, not out of habit, but out of love and his quiet way of keeping a piece of his dad close. And now those very numbers have changed his life. "My dad had a little booklet which he wrote his lotto numbers in," said Mr. Hayes. "After he passed away, I would put the numbers on each week, and then I lost the booklet. I only found it again recently around Christmas time, and I decided to start playing the numbers again, and that's how I won. To think that my dad chose these numbers all those years ago before he died is just unbelievable. And it's a really nice connection to my dad's memory." The first thing Mr. Hayes hopes to do with his winnings is to buy a home with a garden, a space where he and his wife can build new memories and he can indulge his love of gardening. He's also looking forward to upgrading his car and taking his wife on some long-awaited, wonderful trips together. Mr. Hayes added, "I'm so grateful to my dad to have chosen these numbers. The money is going to make a real difference to our lives. Being able to buy our own house after years of renting is going to be so great, and we would love somewhere with a garden."
A charity leader has been honoured for her work supporting young carers in a meeting with the King. Sabian North, CEO of Oxfordshire-based Be Free Young Carers, met King Charles and Queen Camilla at a Windsor Castle reception. The event was held in recognition of the country's 5.8 million unpaid carers. Miss North spoke to the royal couple about the work of Be Free Young Carers, based in Harwell near Didcot, which supports 750 young carers across the county annually through recreational, emotional and social support. She also raised concerns about how a lack of support for children with special educational needs and disabilities, SEND, is forcing younger siblings to take on additional caring responsibilities. Miss North said, "Being a young carer is the ultimate responsibility. It is entirely selfless, and often a young person has no choice but to put their own concerns and time for development to one side so they can care for a loved one." Recent research from Carers Trust found that young carers miss an average of 23 days of school each year, 60% more than their peers. They are also 33% more likely to fall behind in reading, writing and maths between the ages of 5 and 11. Miss North said, "Fewer than half of young carers achieve 5 GCSE passes, which is a clear marker of how the responsibility of being a young carer negatively impacts a person's future prospects. To be invited by Their Majesties to Windsor Castle to shine a light on this was a personal privilege and honour on behalf of our hard-working team. Both the King and Queen spoke passionately about the critical role young carers have in society and how such stories of love, care and compassion can provide an example and inspiration to us all. During the event, Miss North also spoke with Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer and Liberal Democrat leader Sir Ed Davey, both of whom were young carers themselves. TV presenter Kate Garraway also attended and shared how caring for her late husband impacted her own children. The reception took place just before the government released its latest white paper on planned reforms to the schools and the SEND systems. Miss North warned that without proper consideration, these changes could place more pressure on young carers. She said, "Introducing reforms without considering the effects on young carers risk creating further barriers to learning for children we work with. It is therefore essential that it adopts a whole family approach and carefully considers how each stage of the reforms could affect young carers."
King Harold's famed 200-mile march to the Battle of Hastings never happened, as his army sailed instead, new research claimed. The legendary 1066 yomp to the battlefield is a myth, as most of the journey was actually made by sea, according to a leading British historian. His findings overturn one of the most iconic stories in English history, altering how the Norman conquest is understood in classrooms and museums. The research comes as the Bayeux Tapestry, depicting scenes from the pivotal battle, prepares to travel from France to London for display at the British Museum later this year. Professor Tom Lyson says that for more than two centuries, historians have repeated a misinterpretation of the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, one of the earliest written records of English history. The Chronicle seems to imply that King Harold dismissed his fleet in early September 1066, leaving him no choice but to hurry his troops on foot south from Stamford Bridge in Yorkshire. He records that the ships came home, a phrase Victorian historians mistakenly interpreted as meaning he disbanded the navy. The narrative shaped later accounts of the Norman conquest. Professor Lysance, an expert in medieval history and literature, has now shown that the ships returned to London, their home base, and remained operational throughout the year. He said, "I noticed multiple contemporary writers referring to Harold's fleet, while modern historians were dismissing those references or trying to explain them away. I checked the evidence for him having sent the fleet home and found that it was just a misunderstanding. I went looking for the sources of evidence of a forced march and found there wasn't any." Professor Lysance said he was keen to present Harold's actions in a new light in the face of William's invasion. He said, "Harold's campaign was not a desperate dash across England. It was a sophisticated land-sea operation. The idea of a heroic march is a Victorian invention that has shaped our understanding or our misunderstanding of 1066 for far too long." He says contemporary sources describe Harold sending hundreds of ships to block Duke William after the Norman landing. He said, "Harold's weary, unmounted men covering nearly 200 miles in 10 days and then continuing straight to the Hastings Peninsula is implausible given medieval roads and the aftermath of the battle. Only a mad general would have sent all his men on foot this way if ship transports were available." Previous criticism of Harold marching south with reckless and impulsive haste, as one historian put it, is therefore unfounded, as his men had time to rest. English Heritage's Roy Porter, who oversees Battle Abbey and the Hastings battlefield, said, "Professor Lysance's research shows the immense value of testing received wisdoms, and his conclusions are certain to sustain debate about the circumstances of England's most famous battle." Professor Lysance was due to present his findings during the Maritime and Political World of 1066 conference at the University of Oxford on Tuesday, 24th of March.
Jeremy Clarkson hopes to expand his beer business by targeting American drinkers. The former Top Gear and Grand Tour host purchased Diddley Squat Farm in the Cotswolds back in 2008, when it was known as Curdle Hill. This proved to be the focus of his popular Prime Video show, Clarkson's Farm, which documents his agricultural adventures in Chadlington. In 2021, Mr. Clarkson and the Cotswold Brew Company launched the Hawkstone brand, which now offers a range of premium British lagers, ciders and vodka. Named after an ancient standing stone in the Cotswolds, the beer was originally made from the barley grown at Diddley Squat Farm. As the fastest growing beer brand in the UK, Hawkstone is also the most followed beer in the world on Instagram. Now, Mr. Clarkson has teased fans with a major plan for the brand over in the United States of America. One follower asked the TV host on Instagram, "Why can't we get Hawkstone in America?" The 65-year-old then teased plans for the beer brand to come to the USA as he responded, "I have a plan." In recent months, Mr. Clarkson has launched several new Hawkstone drinks, including Hawkstone Lager Zero.
The government has snubbed plans for a major housing development in the north of the county, saying it will no longer be one of its new town locations. The 9,000-home Hayford Park project on the former RAF Upper Hayford site near Bicester was one of 12 proposed new towns across the UK, which had caught the eye of those in Westminster. This list has now been whittled down to 7 new towns, excluding Hayford Park. There are still plans to go ahead with the development, though, even without government backing, and possibly expand the settlement to up to 13,000 homes. It now means that Hayford Park will not receive money from the government to contribute towards an affordable housing fund and a new investment agency which would be set up to help encourage house building. Details of this budget have not been revealed. Each proposed location is expected to deliver at least 10,000 homes, with several delivering 40,000 or more in the decades to come. It has not been made clear by the Department of Housing, Communities and Local Government why Hayford Park is no longer of interest. The department has been contacted for comment. Housing Secretary Steve Reed said, "People want real change, homes they can afford, local infrastructure that works, and good jobs in thriving communities. Our next generation of new towns marks a turning point in how we build for the future. From the ground up, we're planning whole communities with homes, jobs, transport links, and green spaces designed together, so we can give families the security and opportunities they deserve." While Hayford Park may not have the backing of being a new town by the government, this is not the be-all and end-all of the £5 billion scheme by Dorchester Living. The developer, which is waiting on a planning application in the hands of Charwell District Council, can still go ahead if it is approved by the local authority. No exact date has been set for this decision to be made yet, with the developer previously believing it could have permission last autumn.
More than £600,000 worth of fines have been collected from a new camera installed at a notoriously dangerous roundabout. Oxfordshire County Council has operated an ANPR camera at the Plain roundabout to catch out drivers making illegal left turns from Cowley Road to Iffley Road. New data gathered by the newspaper under Freedom of Information laws has revealed that since the camera's installation, Oxfordshire County Council has received £627,920 in fines from drivers. Critics have argued the roundabout is confusing, which is leading to the volume of fines. but others have argued the roundabout is too dangerous to be left alone. Green Ward councillor Alex Powell said, "The numbers suggest there is more work to do in encouraging conscientious, considerate and safe driving within Oxford." Mr Powell said, "The people of Oxford know all too well how dangerous the plane can be. Recent years have seen a number of accidents, including the tragic death of Dr Ling Felche in 2022, he said. "These collisions underline how important it is that drivers obey the rules of the road, especially at a roundabout like the plane." Green City Councillor Emily Carr added, "The no left turn at the plane has been in place for many years, and there are three separate signs informing drivers. It is concerning how many drivers appear to be unaware of this legal restriction, as demonstrated by the high levels of the fine. The plane is one of the most dangerous spots for cycling in the UK, and previously this illegal left turn was one of the most dangerous parts of the roundabout, as can be seen from the crash data. I hope that drivers will learn from being fined that undertaking this dangerous manoeuvre is not worth it, and that the next time they travel that route, they drive legally. I hope that the fines fall over time, as this will mean that drivers are adhering to the laws of the road and our roads are becoming safer." David Henwood, leader of the Independent Oxford Alliance Group, added, "The new road layout is inconsistent with normal road layouts for roundabouts and junctions. This alone confuses many road users. The scheme is producing fines accumulating £627,000, so a review is needed. If the scheme has improved road safety, then of course it is welcome. And the question remains, is the penalty system needed?" The decision to install the ANPR camera at the plane was made by Andrew Gant in October 2023. The Cabinet Member for Transport Management previously said the measure would boost safety for all road users. "This is a very busy roundabout, and the banned left turn is a road safety hazard, which increases the risk for all road users," said Mr. Gant. "There was a good deal of support for the installation of a camera to deter this. Motorists who contravene the restriction will receive a £70 penalty charge notice, discounted to £35 if paid within 21 days.
A unique Oxford United football shirt has set a club record for being the fastest selling replica jersey. The shirt was produced in collaboration with the University of Oxford's Ashmolean Museum of Art and Archaeology to commemorate the opening of the museum's exhibition, In Bloom, How Plants Changed Our World. The limited edition jersey outperformed the sales of Oxford United's 2025-26 home, away and third shirts within the first day of release. The design, inspired by the Ashmolean's collection, incorporates an interpretation of Study of Wild Rose, a piece by John Ruskin. The shirt, marked with the Ashmolean Museum logo on the back, symbolises the connection between Oxfordshire's sole professional football club and the UK's first public museum. It also features the Oxford Botanic Garden imagery, accentuating the link between sport, art and storytelling. With the shirt produced in limited numbers, fans are encouraged to purchase online while stocks last. Once out of stock, there will be no reproductions. The Ashmolean Museum, founded in 1683, is known for its extensive art and archaeology collections and plays a significant role in Oxford's cultural scene. The In Bloom exhibition explores the journeys of some of Britain's most well-known flowers, including roses, tulips, camellias and peonies, exploring their impact on culture, science and society. Featuring over 100 artifacts and artworks, the exhibition highlights the cleverness of early plant explorers and the networks that shape global trade. The exhibition will continue to run until the 16th of August 2026.
A footpath from Old Headington to Barton would be closed to walkers for nearly a year as the final stage of building works for the huge Barton Park estate gets underway. Barton Park is an 885-home new development and construction began in 2015. The scheme includes a new primary school, retail space for a small convenience store, children's play areas, a new access junction onto the A40 and a sport pavilion, all by the Barton LLP, a partnership between Oxford City Council and developers Grosvenor. According to earlier estimations, works are expected to conclude next year. The final stage requires an historic footpath from Old Headington to Elsfield, which runs through the middle of the site, from south to north, to be closed for just under 11 months. A notice of temporary traffic order released by Oxfordshire County Council said the footpath would be closed from March the 23rd until February the 3rd, 2027. It said this order is being introduced because of necessary safety measures for the nearby housing construction and is expected to be completed on the 3rd of February 2027. The effect of the order is to close temporarily part of the footpath. An alternative route is signed via Fields Road, south across the A40 Northway and east along the footpath parallel to the A40.
A 65-year-old is walking more than 6,000 miles to raise awareness about Samaritans. David Matthews began his second listening walk in September 2025, aiming to visit every Samaritan's branch in the UK and Ireland. Having completed a similar journey in 2021, Mr. Matthews has been handing out more than 9,000 contact cards, promoting the charity's 24/7 support service. Despite not being a fitness enthusiast, Mr. Matthews says he is determined to help people understand the importance of talking about mental health. He said, "We all know someone who struggles with their mental health, but not enough people know how much it can help to talk things through or how easy it is to call Samaritans. Whatever they're going through, that first call might be the first step in finding a new way forward." Mr. Matthews became a Samaritans listening volunteer in 2009. During his first listening walk between 2019 and 2021, he raised nearly £30,000, with all donations going towards supporting people who called Samaritans. In 2025, he received an MBE from King Charles III for his services to the charity. Having visited more than 100 branches so far, Mr. Matthews is expected to reach the Oxford Samaritans branch on the 30th of March. People can track his progress on his website, thelisteningwalk.com, where there are also details on how to donate to Samaritans. The Samaritans can be contacted free of charge on 116 123, even from a mobile without credit.
Former Oxford Brookes University student who suffered a meningococcal infection while at university is calling for better awareness. Matt Wolford, 25, was in his first year in October 2019 when he tested positive for meningococcal meningitis and septicemia. Following the outbreak of meningitis in Kent, which killed two people, 20 laboratory cases are confirmed and 9 notifications remain under investigation. This brings the total number of cases to 29, according to the UK Health Security Agency. No new cases have been confirmed lately, and there are no recorded cases in Oxfordshire. Mr. Wolford from Reading said, "Universities being a breeding ground for meningitis infection is not a novel concept. If there is a trend and you can point to a group of people who are more at risk, we should be doing more about it. There's not enough awareness," he added. "I think there's a failing in the wider system and there needs to be more proactivity. After becoming increasingly unwell across a 7-hour period, he contacted NHS 111 after feeling as though the world around him was spinning, causing him to be sick. He went to the John Radcliffe Hospital, where he continued to feel sick, dizzy and faint. He said, "I was immediately triaged for bloods when I continued to be sick. I was curled up in a ball with multiple teams around me, with all sorts of tubes pumping in antibiotics, among other things. I remember having deteriorated so badly that I said I felt I was going to die." Mr. Wolford, who now works as a software engineer, was handed a Meningitis Research Foundation leaflet 2 weeks after the ordeal. He said, "That was 2 weeks too late, but I guess better late than never. The information should have been available earlier, so I knew how to act upon it." The meningococcal B vaccine has been available on the NHS since 2015 as part of the routine child immunisations, but the cost of a private vaccine can cost up to £240. Since the outbreak, NHS Kent and Medway said that 8,002 vaccines had been administered and 12,157 antibiotics had been handed out. But Mr. Wolford said the vaccine should be given to university students who are at higher risk. He said, "When you put an expensive price tag on something like that, there are going to be people who will struggle to get that more than others, and I don't think that's right. I do believe you can be unvaccinated and have the right awareness, which can be life-saving, but meningitis doesn't discriminate, and neither should we."
Plans for a £100 million development of 330 homes on the site of community sports pitches in Oxford have been given the green light. Oxford City Council's Cabinet approved the £97.6 million scheme at a meeting on Wednesday, 18th of March, giving the go-ahead to progress the major development of affordable homes. With a total of 331 homes going to be built on the Sandy Lane Recreation Ground in Blackbird Leas, chosen for position next to the upcoming Cowley Branch Line development, the council has agreed the football pitches used by local clubs will be relocated. Councillor Linda Smith, Cabinet Member for Housing and Communities, said at the meeting that building on the recreation ground is not something to be taken lightly. She said, "There's a strong case for development there because of the reopening of the Cowley Branch Line and the siting of the new station. But what we need to be absolutely clear about is that the football pitches on the site, which are well used by local teams at weekends, they will be reprovided. No housing development will take place on this site until those pitches have been reprovided and they're up and running and used by those teams. I'm determined as a cabinet member, but also as a local Blackbird Leas councillor as well, that we don't just reprovide those pitches, but the local teams affected, the Greater Leas Football Club and the Blackbird Leas Football Club, they get improved facilities, an enhancement of the facilities for their teams to enjoy. We can't say that enough. The plan is to relocate the four football pitches from Sandy Lane to Herschel Crescent Recreation Ground, 150 metres away, with newly built changing facilities and storage. They will precede any house building and are expected to be usable by summer next year. Alongside the relocation of the existing pitches, the City Council is exploring the delivery of any additional pitch at another council-owned site. Built on council-owned land by OX Place, the wholly council-owned housing development company, more than 800 new residents are expected to be housed, including 300 children. And with reallocations of existing stock, the knock-on effect is expected to be felt by 1,200 people. Council Officer Dave Scholes, the corporate lead on affordable housing supply, said, "The numbers really start to multiply out, and you can see the impact on people's lives." The council plans to work closely with the developers of the Cowley Branch Line to deliver the scheme in phases, which includes a central boulevard and a station square with direct links to the new station, Sandy Lane, Blackbird Leas, via a footbridge. Approval was given at the Cabinet meeting for the grant project, including the £97.5 million budget, and for the legal and planning processes to bring the site forward to be started.
Thames Water's worst offending treatment site for illegal sewage spills is in Oxfordshire, according to an analysis by an expert. Peter Hammond, who featured in the Channel 4 docu-series Dirty Business, found that the South Morton sewage treatment work site between Wallingford and Didcot was the worst. The professor's findings, which he says is based on Thames Water's own data, undiscovered 287 illegal spills between 2021 and 2025, more than any other site within the utility network. The second worst was also in Oxfordshire, with the Farringdon site recording 271 illegal spills. Oxford's sewage treatment site was also in the top 10, with 167 illegal spills. Mr. Hammond said in his findings, South Morton sewage treatment works has been included in both Environment Agency enforcement considerations and Ofwat's recently announced fines for illegal discharges of untreated sewage. Local Greg Nolson, who lives next to the site, said there used to be otters 5 years ago downstream at Millbrook, which South Morton discharges into. But that isn't the case anymore, he told the BBC, saying fish have disappeared from the water too.
Abingdon Air and Country Show has been cancelled, its organisers have announced. The show at Abingdon Airfield, next to Dalton Barracks, attracts thousands of aviation enthusiasts every year. It was due to be held on Saturday, 13th of June. The event's website says, the 2026 event is cancelled due to circumstances outside of our control. Airshow organisers also posted on X, formerly Twitter. Due to circumstances beyond our control, it is with reluctance that we are having to cancel the show, which was due to be held on Saturday, the 13th of June. We have tried to find ways of making this year's show viable, but it's not to be, unfortunately. Last month, organisers announced there would be no air display, but added they hoped they would be able to stage the show with displays of aircraft on the ground. A statement from the organisers said at the time, we have a major change to this year's show. Due to costs of both air display aircraft and the insurance for air displays and road closures, we have to reluctantly chop the air display programme segment, a first after over 20 plus years, to keep the show inside its smaller budget to survive. So we hope you understand as to why. Organisers have previously said it costs about £80,000 a year to stage the air show. The festival has raised more than £100,000 for various charities since it launched in 2000. The 25th anniversary show took place in June Sunshine last year, attracting at least 5,000 visitors.
Chui Mungkonge is set to become the new Lord Mayor of Oxford, the first black person to hold the ceremonial office. The Labour City Councillor for Quarry and Risinghurst will carry out a wide range of civic engagements during 2026-27, from leading Oxford's Remembrance Service to school visits and charity events. Susan Brown, leader of Oxford City Council, made the announcement at the full council meeting on Monday night. She also announced that Louise Upton will be the Deputy Lord Mayor of Oxford and Linda Smith would be the Sheriff of Oxford for 2026-27. Mr. Mungkonge and Miss Upton's roles are subject to their re-election in May. Mr. Mungkonge, who has represented Quarry and Risinghurst for the past 11 years, said, I am deeply humbled and truly honoured to be chosen as the next Lord Mayor of Oxford. Having had the privilege of representing the people of Quarry and Risinghurst for the past 11 years, this moment carries great personal and civic significance. As the first black Lord Mayor of Oxford, I stand on the shoulders of those who paved the way, and I hope to be a source of inspiration for future generations. Oxford is a city of remarkable history, diversity and opportunity, and I am proud to serve a community that continues to inspire and lead. I look forward to championing our communities, supporting local charities and representing Oxford with dedication, integrity and pride throughout the coming year. Mr. Mukonge grew up in Zambia. He moved to the UK in 2003 and then to Oxford to be closer to his wife in 2008. He holds an MBA from Oxford Brookes University, graduating in 2012, and works as an admin officer for an Oxford-based charity. Mr. Mukonge has chosen Sobel House and St. Teresa to be his Lord Mayor's charities for 2026-27. The three councillors will be sworn in at the traditional mayor-making ceremony in Town Hall in May. The ceremony will see the outgoing mayor, Miss Upton, officially step down and hand over the chains of office to Mr. Mukonge. The bells of Carfax Tower will then be rung by the Oxford Society of Change Ringers to commemorate the ceremony. The Lord Mayor generally carries out more than 300 engagements each year. These cover a wide range, from royal visits to community group meetings and charity events. The first recorded Mayor of Oxford is Lawrence Kepeham, 1205 to 1209. Lord Mayor's name stretched in an unbroken line until 1962, when the dignity of the Lord Mayor was granted to Oxford by the Queen.
Oxford University is bidding to become a major US research centre. The Rothermere American Institute, RAI, is investing in becoming the leading research centre for understanding the United States with a series of major new initiatives. Established 25 years ago, the RAI has become the leading interdisciplinary centre in Europe for the study of the US. But in light of the turbulence in global politics, the Institute is now aiming to become the top destination for researchers, students, policymakers, and the public in both Europe and the US. The RAI has announced its first permanent academic post in US politics, called the Churchill Chair of US Politics. Recruitment will begin immediately for the associate professorship, which has been permanently endowed thanks to an anonymous donation. The post holder will teach students, strengthen the RAI's engagement with policymakers and the general public, and build a world-leading research group on US politics and international relations. Named after Sir Winston Churchill, the first recipient of honorary US citizenship, it is in recognition of his commitment to the Anglo-American relationship and his lifelong fascination with the dynamism and political creativity of America. The new post will also allow the Institute to set up a taught one-year master's course in contemporary US politics and government. This would be Oxford's first specialist program in US politics, which will attract the next generation of leaders in public life, policy, scholarship and business, training them to think in rigorous, historically rooted ways about the great challenges of the present. Professor Adam Smith, director of the RAI, said, "In a world in which there seems to be an ever greater urgency to understand what America is doing and where it's going, the RAI aims to provide thoughtful, evidence-based analysis." The RAI community comprises around 40 academics in Oxford, 2 visiting professors, more than 100 graduate students and 8 postdoctoral researchers. US undergraduate students visit every year for a study abroad program.
Oxford United's Family Day returns for a day of fun on and off the pitch. The club has announced it will host the event at the Kassam Stadium when the U's take on Hull City on Friday the 3rd of April. Families are encouraged to arrive early to enjoy activities ahead of the big game. From 12:30 till 2:45, Oxford United fans can visit the exhibition bar and the area outside the South Stand. Young fans and their families can enjoy interactive gaming stations ahead of kickoff. Football fans can also expect to enjoy Giant Connect 4, Corn Throw, Jumbo Jenga, a selfie booth and more. Tickets for the game on April the 3rd are now on general sale. You can secure your tickets today by calling 01865 337 533 or visiting the ticket office.
Family blacksmiths who created public work in Oxford have achieved a 700-year first as they were both honoured with prestigious medals. Melissa Cole and her dad Hector Cole are to be the first father and daughter to be honoured with a medal from the Worshipful Company of Blacksmiths in its 7-century history. The duo have a combined 100 years' experience between them, and Miss Cole has contributed to several Oxford pieces. This includes 2 decorative screening panels based on brain neurons at Charwell College student accommodation. In addition, she created the Driftway imprint bronze and steel sculpture at the Slade and the Paradise Street sign in the city. She also made a river root wall mounted installation representing the River Charwell, which is 24 metres long and wrapped around the exterior of the Gatehouse building on Chapel Street. She will be receiving a silver medal from the company, with Mr. Hector having been awarded a gold medal back in 2024. One of only 7 in its 700-year history. Melissa from Wiltshire called it a true honour. She said, "I was so delighted and surprised. To be assessed by people I respect within the craft is wonderful. I'm chuffed for my dad too, as he trained me in my traditional techniques and still goes up to his workshop every day. It's really lovely to share this with him." The Worshipful Company of Blacksmiths is a charitable organisation dedicated to supporting traditional craft of blacksmithing. The City of London Livery Company has a history which dates back to 1299 and was granted a royal charter in 1571. Miss Cole, who has been designing and crafting contemporary ironwork for 30 years in her forge at Pusey Vale in Wiltshire, said, "There are many different requirements for different medals awarded by the Worshipful Company of Blacksmiths." She said, "There is a lot you have to achieve, from designing different types of projects, ensuring there's an access for the public to enjoy your work, and then what you give back to the craft." Melissa said one of her proudest pieces to date was when she was commissioned by the WCB to make a gift for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II during her Platinum Jubilee. She decided to design and create a stunning bird bath, which is now in the Vollery Garden in Hampton Court Palace. Her dad, who started blacksmithing at the age of 7, has a prestigious and worldwide reputation for forging of high-quality historic arrowheads and swords. Miss Cole described her father as a legend in the field.
Estate agents have explained why Hollywood actor Michael Caine's former Riverside mansion in Oxfordshire has had a £1 million price drop. The Grade 2 listed rectory farmhouse near Wallingford initially had a guide price of £10 million, but that has now fallen to £9 million. It was sold by the star who played Alfred in Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy and Scrooge in The Muppet Christmas Carol in 2020. At that time, it had been listed on the market for £6.95 million, and Mr. Caine had previously lived there with his family from 1984 to 1999. The classic 17th century English country home was put on the market again last year by Savills, but last month the listing disappeared. At the time, a spokesperson for Savills told the Oxford Mail to confirm the property is still available privately and we plan to relaunch it on the open market imminently. Now the mansion in North Stoke Village has been launched again, albeit for £1 million cheaper than before. A spokesperson for Savills has now told the Oxford Mail the reasoning behind this price drop. Architecturally interesting and Grade 2 listed, Rectory Farmhouse is a quintessentially English country home that provides period charm with all the creature comforts you'd expect for 21st century living, they said. The market has changed since the property was available last year, and the recent price drop is a reflection on the current sentiment. It's the perfect opportunity for someone seeking a private edge of village estate, complete with beautiful gardens and its own 600 feet of River Thames frontage. The Oxfordshire Homes listing states, marrying period charm with the convenience of 21st century living, Rectory Farmhouse provides the opportunity to entertain on a grand scale. It's a perfect country retreat for those seeking a private edge of village estate hidden from view. With 600 feet of River Thames frontage, the six-bedroom mansion comes with a Moroccan-style jacuzzi, a sauna and a 100,000-litre swimming pool. In addition, it has two kitchens, five bathrooms, a music room, a drawing room and sitting rooms. It also has on the ground floor a utility room, a gym, a plant room, a boot room and two lavatories. Outside, Sir Michael added extensively to the 17,000 square feet property and planted many specimen trees in the grounds. Property agent Victoria Knight, head of office at Savills in Henley, said, "Situated on the longest stretch of the Thames between locks, Rectory Farmhouse offers hours of hassle-free boating. Despite its 600 feet of frontage, the house cannot be seen from the river, and it is surrounded by beautiful gardens and grounds."
Oxford University's Brasenose College has appointed its first ever female principal. Alison King, currently His Majesty's Ambassador to the Democratic Republic of Congo, will take up the post in October 2026, following the retirement of John Bowers KC. A Brasenose alumna, Miss King studied jurisprudence at the college before beginning a distinguished diplomatic career. Miss King said, "Brasenose shaped both my intellectual outlook and my commitment to public service. I am honoured to return to lead a college defined by friendliness, openness and academic excellence, to help ensure that all who study and work here flourish, and to sustain and celebrate the enduring bonds that define the Brasenose community." The college said her appointment was the result of a competitive selection process. Professor Anne Davis, Vice Principal of Brasenose, said, "We are delighted to announce the appointment of Alison as our next principal. The selection process has been competitive and thorough, and at every stage Alison has impressed with her vision, her ability to connect, and her desire to understand what the college means for all its members. We are also thrilled that she will be the first woman in the role." The college recorded its deep gratitude to John Bowers KC for his dedicated and distinguished leadership. Under his tenure, Brasenose has thrived, and the governing body staff and students thank him warmly for his energetic service.
A youth football club says more support is needed to meet rising demand among girls. Abingdon Youth Football Club has seen rapid growth across its girls' teams, including its under-10s, who reached the OGFL Cup final this season, the furthest the team has ever progressed in the competition. Rebecca Cousins, under-10 girls manager at Abingdon Youth FC, said, "Every girl who turns up is proof that something special is happening here. And the girls of Abingdon are ready. We just need the support to match their ambition." The club says this growth reflects a wider trend, with the number of girls and women playing football in England rising by 56% over the past 4 years. An estimated 845,000 girls now play in a formal setting, up 176,000 since 2018. To help meet growing demand, the club has launched Sessional Football, dedicated training sessions for girls to develop their skills and their love of the game. Miss Cousins said, "We want every girl in Abingdon who wants to play to be able to play, regardless of background, regardless of circumstances." She said sponsorship would enable the club to kit out every girls' team, fund tournament places, bring in specialist coaching, and grow our sessional teams into full competitive teams. Actors, a music star, and Oxfordshire campaigners joined an event in Westminster to celebrate a Channel 4 docudrama exposing sewage pollution from private water companies. Critically acclaimed three-part series Dirty Business put the spotlight once again on the water industry, with more than 100 MPs meeting those involved. The show premiered in February and highlighted several stories related to the industry, including the work of former police detective Ash Smith and Professor Peter Hammond, who investigated sewage spills in West Oxfordshire. Both are founders of Windrush Against Sewage Pollution, WASP, which has long campaigned for reform within the water industry. A spokesperson for WASP said, "A drop-in briefing about the water industry scandal was attended by a remarkable 107 members of Parliament plus staff. Hosted by MPs Clive Lewis and Ros Savage, the briefings were done by members of the Sewage Campaign Network, including WASP, Ilkley Clean Rivers, Save Windermere, Welsh Rivers Union, Hot Water and more from across the county. This growing coalition we encourage groups to join. As well as briefings from the groups, there was also short viewing of the Channel 4 drama Dirty Business, and a chance to speak to those involved in its production." Producer and researcher Laura McCutcheon attended the event, as did actors Posy Sterling and Tom Mackay, who played the grieving parents in the show. Organiser Clive Lewis said on social media, "On Tuesday, more than 100 MPs met frontline sewage campaigners, including those featured in Channel 4's Dirty Business, to hear directly about their experience and what needs to change. Campaigners featuring prominent voices like Feargal Sharkey had one clear message. It's time for public ownership." Mr. Smith has also called for public ownership of water companies and has said that an urgent reset is needed. "Privatisation has failed," he said recently. Reflecting on Jason Watkins' portrayal of him in the show, Professor Hammond said it was odd to see, especially considering they don't look alike. The two met and he said he was pleased the actor was so on board with the show's message. Mr. Smith said he thought David Thewlis portrayed him really well and revealed that the more free jazz he's heard, a plot point in the series, the more he's come to like it. This is despite his neighbour, Professor Hammond, revealing he's not actually a big fan of the form, though he is a big jazz enthusiast generally.
And that is all the news for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about OxTalk, please feel free to contact us by phoning 07496 062 280. That is 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message, or you can send us an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and past editions are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can listen to these editions directly or download them online. If you need any help or have any further queries, please feel free to contact us. That is all for now. We hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening.